Yeah. Here's the correcting book. We don't need a book to come forth and call it an inspired translation to correct this book. He sent this book to correct, and then he turns around and sent another book to correct it. Does that make sense? No. And besides that, that didn't come across the sea either. Oh, I know a lot of arguments come out from time to time. They say, well, that King James, now it didn't come... Yeah, there was a lot of Bibles that came across the sea, brothers and sisters. There was the Wolf. There were several of them, several different kinds. But the King James translation came across the sea because it was translated over there in England and dedicated to King James. So how do you think it got here? It came across the many waters, just like the Scripture says. But my biggest contention is that this is contradictory to the Book of Mormon. Just like those Bibles I'm passing around to you is contradictory to the Scriptures, the Book of Mormon, and the Authorized King James. Now, I'm here to say that if he don't not have a doctrine anymore, and he's not trying to prove any specific point, and it isn't the Church of Christ anymore, and there's no need for him being the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, and it's his all right to change and alter the 23rd Psalm, they have absolutely tore and ripped at the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're passing it out to their children. And men supposedly of the cloth tell the people, go buy those books. Oh boy, then you can understand the word. But they have been altered and changed to the point that they lose the path of Christ and they can't see his footsteps. They have, by the wisdom of men and by their stiff-neckedness and pride, have opened up a path that is wide. Like the Lord said to destruction, but narrow is the way into eternal life. And that's through the Scriptures that he has written and provided by the power of the Holy Spirit to edify us unto the way to eternal life. And it is no other way. It cannot come through the wisdom of man. Just like the Scripture says, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord and to follow him and to keep his commandments. That's the beginning of the wisdom. There it is. In one quick, easy lesson, not all the alterations that has entered into the restoration gospel or that is entering in the world when they're changing and altering the Scriptures that are opposite of the Holy Scripture by the wisdom and the direction of Satan through man and convincing the people of those things. There's so many things, my lovely brothers and sisters, concerning this that I could tell you. I have not the time, but I want you to be aware that God, the Eternal Father, has provided us two books that is to measure for you and I the gospel of Christ. And he says those two books confound false doctrine. They confound false doctrine. And put down contention and establish peace. Turn over to page 88 in your Book of Mormon. Are you with me back there, Bob? Would you start in the 19th verse, please, on page 88? Okay, when he says, wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, that's the Indian people. That's the Book of Mormon. He's reading from that record. And he says, the fruit of the loins of Judah shall rise. That's the Bible. That's the stick of Judah that it refers to in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning there in the 15th verse. Okay, go ahead, brother.
And that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together. Under the confounding of false doctrines, and laying down of contentions, and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord. And out of weakness ye shall be made strong in that day when my work shall commence among all my people, under restoring thee, O house of Israel, saith the Lord.
Amen. I want you to know that he says these two books, he says, grow together to confound false doctrine. Now, when you take those two books, brothers and sisters, and it says that if someone compels you, you have to, but you don't do it out of the goodness of your heart. When they alter and change the reading, do you think that's right? Do you think those things are true? Or is those two books that grow together, and Ezekiel in 600 B.C. when Babylonia came in and destroyed the house of Israel and he was carried away as a captive where they were for 70 years, okay? And Ezekiel wrote, he told Ezekiel, when they say unto you, what do you mean by these? He says, say unto them, thus saith Hubert Yeats. He says, you say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, that they shall be one in my hand. And they are one. And he says, and they shall be one in my hand before their eyes. Look, brothers and sisters. They grow together to confound false doctrine and to put down contention and to establish peace. Amen. So here the Church of Christ challenges the world because they're altering and changing the Scriptures, and the Church of Christ sometimes tries to take up the alters and changing of the Scriptures. But we better lay hold of this right here. These are what grow together to confound false doctrine, to put down contention, and it will establish peace. We pray to be of one mind and of one heart. How can we be of one mind and one heart when we're teaching things that's been altered and changed, not by the power of God, because He doesn't change, not even a shadow of changing? How can we? How can we be strong when we're altering and changing those things that has been brought forth by the power of the Almighty God that grows together to confound false doctrine and to put down contention and to establish peace? Why do you think the world is in the condition it is? Why do you think the restored gospel is in the condition that it is? Because it followed false revelation. And it didn't use the two standards that God had given them to measure. That's why. That's the reason right there. They followed false revelation. And in both of those books, it tells them that the church was under condemnation and was going to stay there until the day they come back to the Bible and to the Book of Mormon and measure their standard according to them. And they're still under that condemnation and will be henceforth and forever until they get a hold of the two books that says, thus saith the Lord God, they shall be in my hand before their eyes, and that the Scripture says that they grow together to confound false doctrine, that it might unify the purpose in which Christ had come and the truthfulness of the gospel unto salvation. And you know something? We haven't even scratched the surface, brothers and sisters. The evidence of the truthfulness of a God that saw to it that He would provide for us a specific way to eternal life, the evidence is right here, and we have it. And the only thing that we got to do is read it. And if you don't understand it, don't worry about getting some guy's idea that don't know anything about it to start with, and he'll fight the Book of Mormon and tell you you're a cult because you believe in it. You want to understand it? Then be humble, like my brother preached the other day for his first sermon, and get down on your knees and ask, and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you, and if it's delivered unto you by the inspiration or revelation by the power of God, it will be the truth and it will be the unalterable gospel. That plain and that simple. The truth and the unalterable gospel. So the world, yes, has a bunch of new Bibles. They say we're living in a different dispensation of time, and so we change the laws and the rules, and this nation has changed the laws and the rules. It's changed it concerning murder, it's changed it concerning homosexuals, it's changed it concerning divorces, it's changed it in all different directions, and they have got themselves away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And those of us of the body of Christ that follows the wisdom of men or the arm of the flesh, like the Scripture says, we're no better. In fact, we're worse because we're supposed to know the truth. We carry these two books. We're supposed to know the truth. You know, He tells us to much is given, much is required. He requires a lot more of you, Gabe, than He does somebody down there that's never heard the gospel of Christ. Because you know. There's a difference. A vast difference. There's more requirement of you, Bill, than there is those that are over there in Iran or Iraq that's been taught somebody opposite of Jesus Christ through all the generations of time. We hold that oneness. We have those two books that have grown together to establish a Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, with all power and strength and might. The way to salvation, and there's none other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved other than through and by Jesus Christ. Those two books establish that holy gospel. That unalterable doctrine or dogma of Jesus Christ. Those two books teach it. So that you and I don't have to be blind wherein the Satan has power over us. But we can take the scales from our eyes through the direction of that Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, that He says we received a baptism and it was to remain with us forever, but we got to listen. We have to allow it to teach it. We can shut it out so it can't speak to us, but if we listen, it will teach us all things whatsoever I have commanded, and that's the way to eternal life, is through the commandments of Jesus Christ and none other. And so the world is full of wisdom of men. The world is full of wisdom of Satan. The deceiving power. The Lord says that He's the father of lies. He lies to us. He lies to you. He lies to me to turn the truth. But we got to lay hold to the two books that grow together to confound that false doctrine and do it in a humble, submissive manner and call upon the Holy Lord that He'll guide and direct you. And if you do, don't ever think for a minute that you can't be taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ, because He'll teach you. He'll reveal it to you. Plain and simple. To your understanding, He'll do that. I'd like to have you turn, Gabe, over in the 23rd chapter of Psalms. It's used an awful lot. I'd like to have you go to the 23rd chapter of Psalms. I'd like to have you follow in there. And I'd like to have you go along there, Patsy. You got the other one? Okay. Go to the 23rd Psalms. Are you there at the 23rd Psalms? Okay. I'd like to have you read that out loud, if you would.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. They preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You want to read that, Jay?
Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors Him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies, and You have welcomed me as Your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with You forever in Your home.
Now, if you don't think there hasn't been some alteration there, brothers and sisters, they even lost the rod. What happened to the rod? Do we know and do we understand and must and we must understand that no man nor woman has a right to alter that which is delivered by the power of the Almighty God? That's why that Book of Mormon come forth, brothers and sisters, and when you read it, and it come forth by the power of God through the Urim and Thummim, do you think that he has to have another book to correct it? What's the matter with our thinking? Do we don't believe that prophecy back there? Everything else has come true in it, that Book of Mormon came forth to correct those plain and precious things that were taken out? How's he going to do that if he's got to correct it all the time? Let's put it together, brothers and sisters, and come to the understanding that God knew what he's doing, and he knew your needs, and he knew mine. And that's why he caused those things to be written. And that's how come that you get into these two books, or that book there, that Deuteronomy. It don't read all just exactly like your authorized King James, but boy, it reads enough like it. It says you call no man father in there. You can take that old Catholic book and you can talk to Catholic priests and you can eat them up for breakfast without any salt. Their own books. But oh my goodness, have they altered the new ones. And incidentally, you got that Catholic book, sister? Okay, the new one? Would you turn over there in about the second page or third page and see whose picture's in there? Word of the Lord. So that you can't prove anything. When Jim and I was teaching up there in the French area, and we were teaching up in there in Quebec, why, we were teaching a group of people, and everyone out there, all Bibles, read different. And he said, well, I'll take care of that. So he went in, he had three French Bibles, and he got them out, and all three of them read different. Don't we know that Satan knows what he's doing to undermine the written word of God Almighty? But God, in his wisdom, gave us a Book of Mormon that puts that undermining to a screeching halt if we believe. He brought that back to edify you and I and to teach us the truth. So that we don't have to take any secondhand information or a watered down, altered down word that has come by the direction of men and their wisdom and their precepts of what they should follow after. Huh? Sort of crazy, isn't it, guys? Okay, those are the books that they're telling your people to read today. You ought to go through some of it. Because, oh my goodness, is it laid in your lap when you're out teaching? So it's important for us as a body of Christ to know that God has set us a standard. And that standard is entirely different. Now I'm going to read for closing again that word. There's so many things I could go into tonight. I don't have time. But I want to read again the 23rd Psalm. And I want to read it seriously to you. I want you to think about it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd feeds the sheep and the lambs. They take them where they can find the living manna. The shepherd looks out of the sheep and keeps the wolves out of the midst, and the lion and the bear and the coyotes. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm here to state to you that that shepherd keeps those things outside if you believe. And if you believe in the word that he has provided for us, you'll be safe in the fold. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's true. We heard a sister back there today bear witness that though things are all about her having problems and everything, yet she had a peace in her heart, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's what he said, peace I leave unto you in the 14th chapter of St. John. He says, peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And we don't have to be troubled and laden down by the ways of the world because we got Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. That means he feeds you the living manna. You lie down in green pastures. You take the sheep over where they eat so they can get fat and strong and get about. Yeah, they lay down in those green pastures. He feeds them with that living manna. He leads me beside the still waters. He's going to water them just like at the well. Yes. He restoreth my soul. Isn't that true? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Oh, how true that is. If we'll listen to that still small voice, he'll lead us in paths of righteousness. And if we start to get out of order, he'll say, no, 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 no. That old conscience will say, ah, 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 ah. For his name's sake, he wants the world to know he's got a people here. And you know we're his people? And so if there's going to be a light taken to this world, it's going to come from you and from me. You're the light, brothers and sisters, that's to be up on a hill and that a candle power that will reach out into the world, and we can't allow them to put a bushel over us and shut us out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You heard my brother say in the testimony today that he's had some close calls down there in Yucatan, but he can die any place. But he was in the hand of the Lord. Isn't that true? We don't have to fear when we're going with the Lord. What do you have to be afraid of? Is there any situation or subject that can come up that he can't stop or turn or alter or warn of? When Don and I was down there, he warned us. When Don and I was down there, we sat down and offered a prayer over food. And the Spirit of the Lord revealed to Don that they were breaking in the car trying to get all the tracts and Bibles and things that we had there and the Book of Mormon. And so we left the food there at the table and jumped up and ran outside. And sure enough, there they were breaking into our car. Don't you know that? I knelt down on the old hard ground in a little old hut there at Cayetano with a few little old candles around there in the season of prayer, and I had opened up before me a day vision, just like viewing down a vista into TV, and I could see what was happening and how they were going to try to get our stuff, and was kicking down the door. And when Don and I got there, they had the door kicked in a V-shape, didn't they, Don? God has that power. He's a mighty God, and we don't have to be afraid. The Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power and of love. Oh, yes. And of a sound mind. We're not wishy-washy. We know whom in whom we believe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and he is with us. That's what he said. He said that they go out in the field, though they're few in number. He says the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with them. And I believe that because I've had him go forth with me. And without him we can accomplish nothing. But through him all things can be done. Not of the strength or the wisdom of a man. What can I do? Can I turn your heart? Can I soften your heart? Can I make you have a desire to repent? Or is it the Spirit of Christ? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And boy, our cup runs over. We might think we got problems, but I'm here to state to you, our cup runneth over. If you think we got problems, be out in some of the rest of the world and see. Your cup will always runneth over. Remember what I'm telling you, and I can promise it to you, as long as you walk in Christ, it will always run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And they do. I bore testimony to you, and I bear it again this night. I have had a wonderful life. I've had more fun accidentally than most people have on purpose. I have a happy home, a beautiful wife. I have been blessed because of God and because my faith in God and His Son. I have been blessed. And I'll just tell you what, that surely that goodness and mercy shall go with me all the days of my life. And it will. And that's a promise. And I believe it. And you better believe it. Because it's so. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that what the Scripture says? That if we walk in righteousness, that we'll live with Him forever. How beautiful. And I don't think that it need to be altered and changed to come to the understanding of the truth. I don't think the gospel of Christ and the true revelation that was delivered need to be altered and changed. I don't believe it. That's telling me I have a changing God, and I don't have one. Mine don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is yours. And that's what's going to judge us. That's what's going to judge us. They're going to grow together. They've grown together to confound false doctrine, to put down contention and establish peace, Gabe. You can't follow the world. The new alterations and changes in the Bible, brothers and sisters, are not of God. The new alterations and changes in the so-called modern revelation are not of God. They are not of God. And until we get that in our mind and in our heart, we're still going to be dragging our feet. And we're not going to be free of the shackles that has shackled us down the restoration gospel for so long to fully work in the gospel of Jesus Christ with power. Those false revelations shackle us down and hold us and causes contention. Just like it says that those two would put down contention and establish peace. How important that is. And so, I'd like to bring this to a close. I'm sorry that I've gone as long as I have. I had more here I wanted to tell you, but my time is well past. I've gone 2 hours, and I'm sorry. But it's important for you to know that God has provided two sticks to measure us to the standard of eternal life with Jesus Christ and God the Father, and we must take the two sticks that He's provided and not sticks that's been provided by the world. We have to take the two that He has provided and preserved through the inspiration of His Holy Spirit. May God bless us to that end, I hope and pray. Amen.
We're going to use number 320 in closing. We'll sing the first and last verses. There are two cards up here to be signed. If you haven't done so yet, right up here on this table.
Young people's needs right after church.
Oh, yeah.
Just real fast.
Real fast?
Real fast.
Where are they going to meet?
Right here. Right.
Okay. Number 320. Shall we stand?
Standing on the promises of Christ, like me, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
bow our heads in prayer. O God, our eternal Father, as we come before Thee at the close of this service, we thank Thee, Lord, for the blessings of this day. We thank Thee for the presence of Thy Spirit as we have met together, for the opportunity to praise Thy name and to bless Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Word which comes to us through these Holy Scriptures, and pray, Lord, that Your Holy Word shall work within us that which is good and pleasing to Thee, that it shall fulfill its work in our individual lives of reproof and correction, of instruction in the ways of truth and righteousness. And help us, Father, individually, and help us as a ministry, and help us as a church, that we might hew to the standard that has been cut out of a rock without hands, that indeed we might give our attention to Thy holy word, our lives and our service to Thee be guided and directed by it. Now be with us as we take our departure. Be with each one of us, Father. There will be those who will be traveling to the reservation to labor among Your people and meet their needs. There will be those who go back to their work and their studies and their school. We pray that You will watch over and care for each one. Be with us when we meet together again to worship Thee. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.